There's an historic several-agency effort underway in Angola and the Democratic Republic of Congo to vaccinate a huge amount of people to protect them from yellow fever and stop one of the biggest outbreaks in decades. Yellow fever is the virus spread by the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which also spreads Zika and dengue. Yellow fever causes fever, headache, and when it progresses, it can destroy the liver and cause jaundice or yellowing of the skin and eyes. And then about 8% of people who get it die from liver and kidney failure and severe bleeding from their eyes and ears. Horrendous. Dr. Daniel Lucy is an infectious disease specialist at the Georgetown University O'Neill Institute for Global Health Law. He's recently back from Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the worry is the fever will take hold. Dr. Lucy, there's no cure, but there is a vaccine for yellow fever. So why are we verging on a crisis?
Well, the virus has spread more quickly and further throughout the country of Angola, having started in the capital in Luanda and then spread to most of the 18 provinces of Angola and then moved north across the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo and then further north to the capital, Kinshasa, where approximately 11 million people live. And as a result, there just hasn't been enough yellow fever vaccine in the emergency global stockpiles. And that's why starting yesterday, August 17th, and projected to last for 10 days until August 27th, approximately 8.5 million people in Kinshasa, the capital of DRC, will receive yellow fever vaccine, but only one-fifth, 20% of the normal dose, because the supply of vaccine is insufficient to give a full dose to all 8.5 million people that are going to be vaccinated basically in 10 days between August 17th and August 27th. So it's really a history-making event that's undergoing right now in Kinshasa.
Oh, sure. So many organizations, the WHO, the Congolese government, other international public health organizations, all cooperating. You know, there's history being made here. But people are questioning, why does it have to happen? Because we understand the vaccine in its full dose is protective for life. The one-fifth dose that people are now being given to spread the vaccine out to make more use of the vaccine that exists will protect them for about a year. If we know that yellow fever can be transmitted by mosquitoes in this area, why isn't everyone just vaccinated, you know, as a matter of course?
So I think it's an excellent question. And again, I want to emphasize that this has never happened before to the point where the virus has caused epidemics that we don't have enough vaccine for and therefore have to use this one-fifth dose,
right,
which, as you say, will protect for at least a year, maybe longer. But in contrast, a full dose protects for an entire life. So I think it's really another example, like Ebola, like MERS, like SARS, like Zika, where the viruses and other emerging infectious diseases or re-emerging infectious diseases just outsmart us, our species, the humans, if you will.
Yeah.
But we know what we need to do going forward to prevent such outbreaks, particularly in cities, so-called urban yellow fever, in the future, which is do just what you said, which is to vaccinate people in childhood, for example. And that actually started about 10 years ago in West Africa. But for reasons that probably involve just not having the resources, money, or otherwise to make enough of this vaccine. Not enough people were vaccinated have been vaccinated in Angola before this outbreak or in DR Congo. Or personally, I'm very concerned about the virus moving yet north to one more country after the DR Congo, which is to the Republic of Congo and their capital of Brazzaville, which is just across the Congo River within sight of Kinshasa, the capital of DR Congo.
Yeah, and by the way, when you talk about the virus moving, you're talking about mosquitoes flying. Which, what would prevent them? Nothing would prevent them.
True, but in addition to the mosquitoes flying, and these mosquitoes, Aedes aegypti, the so-called yellow fever mosquito, but also transmits, as you said, Zika and dengue and chikungunya, they fly a short distance. But it can be the human beings traveling on the boat across the river, for example, from Kinshasa to Brazzaville, that might not be very sick, so they're able to travel on the boat, but they have the yellow fever virus in their blood. And then when you get to the other side, the mosquitoes that live on the other side of the river then – for example, if I had yellow fever and a virus in my blood, then they bite me, they take the virus from my blood, and then they start to bite and infect other people on the other side of the Congo River in this example, or on the other side of the Angola-DRC border, which is very long, 2,646 kilometers. And again, I just wonder if it's not prudent to consider vaccinating along the northern border of DR Congo, which is shared with the Republic of Congo and especially the capital, Brazzaville.
Well, but as we said, they're also low on vaccine, and we understand companies are working furiously to make it, but that takes up to a year. So what is your anticipation? I mean, here's a disease that people haven't even thought about. Is it, you know, we of course want to protect the people in that region and help them avoid it. 500 have died so far. But do you see it making its way to the States?
Well, the yellow fever virus hasn't caused outbreaks in the United States for a little bit over 100 years. I think the last outbreak was in New Orleans around 1905, but previously it caused large outbreaks in the States, in Boston, New York, Memphis, multiple outbreaks, New Orleans and elsewhere. I think it's unlikely that it's going to cause any big outbreaks. Could there be a few travelers? Yes, certainly. And again, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, it's the same Aedes, Aedes mosquito that transmits yellow fever, that transmits Zika. So all of the concern and attention that I believe is appropriate to control the Aedes mosquitoes now because of Zika would at the same time help protect against yellow fever in the States. But the major, I would say, the worst case scenario, if you will, is if yellow fever goes to Asia. In other words, India, Indonesia, China, any of the countries that have large cities that are like Kinshasa, in other words, 10 million or more people. What would we do?
Yeah. What would we do? Dr. Lucy, we know that climate change is impacting disease around the world. I don't want to take you into that direction right now. But given with that in the back of your mind, do you foresee a time when everyone will, you know, everyone in the U.S. maybe, in addition to having your measles, your mumps, your polio vaccinations, children might have an overall insect vaccination, something that prevents Zika, dengue, yellow fever?
Well, that's a question near and dear to my heart because I think it's important to look ahead in the immediate future, but also in the more distant future. And actually, these are the kind of questions that I think about a lot. Hopefully, polio will be eradicated in the coming years, but right. There's obviously no guarantee of that. But I understand very well your question. And I think that as our planet changes in a large part because of our species, so it's a so-called age of humans, Anthropocene age, that between urbanization and globalization and climate change, that there will be an increasingly frequent series of epidemics, or what I have started to call pan-epidemics, meaning widespread epidemics within a country or a region or even on multiple continents, pan-epidemics of viruses and bacteria and other infectious disease agents. And whatever we can do to prevent those, we should do. But it's going to take a much, much better international collaboration, working together to prevent and respond very rapidly and more comprehensively than we have in the past, for example, for Ebola in 2014 in West Africa in order to succeed.
Yeah. Dr. Daniel Lucy, he specializes in infectious diseases and is a senior scholar at the Georgetown University O'Neill Institute for Global Health Law. He's speaking to us from Dartmouth in New Hampshire, where he's visiting, speaking on this very topic. Dr. Lucy, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin. My pleasure.